Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. It's Ken Hodge and Rob Frost, and it's time for the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Half Hour. Tonight, we have a different array of subjects that we're going to talk to you about. And I want you to understand that, first of all, I want to start off, but one of our first topics tonight is what is FICA and how does the law protect you as a federal employee? Well, when we used to have Brother Anthony Norris on, he would give a nice dissertation on FICA. And what I want you to understand is you have the same type of coverage that congressmen have and members of House of Representatives. The Federal Employees Compensation Act covers all federal employees. Even though the post office is quasi-federal, we are still covered. And one of the things that the FICA law generated was Department of Labor. United States Department of Labor and a sub-department would be Office of Workers' Compensation Programs. Now, let me say to you tonight that you're going to hear some things tonight that I'm sure you were not aware of, but you got to understand something. This is a federal law. Because the post office does not administrate it properly, does not change the fact that it is a federal law. Therefore, you should be motivated to go ahead and fight for your rights, because most times you run into postal management who are just not aware. And you have to understand that this is a federal law, and it doesn't matter if your supervisor likes you or don't like you. It doesn't matter. These are federal laws that they must, and I say again, that they must abide by. And when we talk about Federal Employees Compensation Act, we have the Office of Workers' Compensation Program. And under it, we have a division of Federal Employees Compensation, the DFEC. Okay, one of the things that you will find, and this is coming right from the Department of Labor website. One of the things that they talk to you about is they tell you about the Federal Employees Compensation Act. Okay, it is administered by the Office of Workers' Compensation Program, OWCP, of the United States Department of Labor. It provides compensation benefits to civilian employees of the United States for disabilities due to personal injury sustained while in the performance of duty or to employment-related diseases. The Federal Employees Compensation Act also provides for the payment of benefits if the injured or deceased or the disease causes the employee's death. Benefits cannot be paid if the injured or death is caused by the willful misconduct of the employee or by the employee's intention to bring about his or her injury or death or that of other, or if intoxicated and the approximate cause of injury or death. So in other words, I didn't mean to confuse you with that reading there, but what they're saying is the Injury Compensation Act is designed to give you benefits while you rehabilitate or, again, become whole, a language that a lot of the unions like to use. And under the Office of Workers' Compensation Program, there are different types of benefits that is available to you as a federal employee. There are medical benefits. You have benefits. In other words, you can get compensation for temporary total disability, compensation for permanent effects of an injury, and we have death benefits. One of the things that you must be aware of is that compensation payments on account of a disability or death which occurred more than 1 year before March 1st of each year are increased on that date by any percentage change in the CPI, Consumer Price Index, published for December of the preceding year. So you get cost of living increases if you are receiving compensation. You are also allowed settlements with third party when an employee's injury or death in the performance of duty occurs under circumstances placing a legal liability on a party other than the United States. A portion of the cost of compensation and other benefits paid by OWCP must be refunded from any settlement obtained. And naturally, you have appeal rights. And any time, and I do mean any time, an employee or survivor who disagrees with a final determination of OWCP may request an oral hearing or a review of the written records from the branch of hearings and review. So I'm reading all of this to say to you that you are covered very well if you understand FICA laws and how they are associated within the Department of Labor. You should not become frustrated. Well, excuse me, I don't want to say frustrated, but you should not obtain that attitude as, oh, well, there's nothing they're going to do about it. No, that's the wrong answer. We have to bring ourselves into the knowledge of rules and regulation that govern the quality of our work life, and we must be very vigilant as we don't allow anyone, if you're a post office or any federal employer, to rob you of these rights. Okay? A couple other things from the Department of Labor website. In case of injury, you want to obtain first aid or medical treatment, even if the injury is minor. Now, let me tell you something, because I know working at the post office, we are of the opinion that if I don't need to go to the hospital, there is no need to file an injury report. Well, let me tell you something. You can still file a CA1 and not go to the hospital. But what happens is I'm not big on the declination statement. I always would advise people to follow that CA1. That is a permanent record, not only with the post office, but with the Department of Labor. So when it happens, because, you know, our supervisors get very busy and they can't remember or they didn't do the paperwork properly on a declination statement or a note you may have given a supervisor, if that gets lost, well, with the CA1, that's filed with the Department of Labor. Again, for traumatic injuries, ask your employer to authorize medical treatment on that CA16 before you go to the doctor. Take form CA16 when you go to the doctor, along with your OWCP 1500, which the doctor must use to submit bills to OWCP. Your employer may authorize medical treatment for occupational diseases only if OWCP gives prior approval. So on that CA1, you're going to receive immediate care. On a CA2 for occupational diseases, that's going to take prior approval from OWCP. Now, a couple of little key points that I want to point out to you, when you go to the emergency room or you go for care, again, your medical documentation, your medical ID card should not be a factor. In fact, I would decline to give it to them, because what I've seen more times than not is because a injured employee gave their medical documentation to the hospital, well, for whatever reason, the hospital billed their insurance. Now, don't get me wrong, you still may have a copay to pay, but more importantly, you're not going to end up paying that bill. So if you don't pay the bill on time after giving them your medical documentation, That is going to affect your credit report. Now, let me say this to you. Why should your credit report take a hit? What I mean by hit, a decrease in score because you didn't pay medical doctors for injury you sustained at work. It just doesn't pass the common sense test that you would allow yourself to be put in that predicament. Now, again, if you want to pay the bill and then recoup your losses through Department of Labor, you can do that also, but why put yourself out? And when it comes to returning to work, you want to return to work as soon as your doctor allows you to do so. If your employing agency gives you a written description, if your employing agency gives you a written description of a light duty job, you must provide a copy to your doctor and ask if and when you can perform the duties prescribed. So again, if you're out of work, again, make sure you contact myself or Rob just so we can provide additional guidance to you to make sure that your claim forms are handled properly. I could speak to you from now until the cows come home, but for whatever reason, you tend to, and I somewhat understand it, you tend to always slip back. When I say you, I mean the employees in the Postal Service. We tend to slip back into thinking that postal management knows how to process claims and will tell you the right information. Stop thinking that. And I choose my words very carefully when I say stop thinking that. Know that you know. Never mind what that supervisor knows, because that supervisor is inundated with so many other issues that they deem more important than injury compensation. You make yourself aware. And if you're aware, then you can follow the guidelines to see if the supervisor is doing what it is they're supposed to. And if you are aware and the supervisor is not doing what is supposed to be done, then you can stand firmly as you correct that misbehavior, for lack of a better word. The next thing, I want to turn the microphone over to Robert for a minute, and we're going to talk to you a minute about filing mileage claim forms. Go ahead, Rob.
Actually, we've got two topics there. Mileage claim forms is first. Now, I've received information from another injured worker who has been told by their HRM, that's HR Specialist Medical, that works for the post office, that they have to file their mileage claim forms every 2 weeks. This is not true. You have up to a year to file them. You don't have to file them every 2 weeks. And if your HRM starts pressuring you about it, let me know and I'll look the description back up again and give it to you.
Well, let me ask you a question, Rob. Why would they be pushing for 2 weeks if you have a year? What's so important about every 2 weeks?
Well, and I understand the HRM side of this, because if you do it every 2 weeks, it's less paperwork for them to have to go through and verify, and it makes their job easier. All right? But if you have a situation where you just can't file it for some reason, you don't have to do it every 2 weeks. You have up to a year. Now, if you want to help that HRM, if they're actually helping you do and doing the job right, then please, by all means, file every 2 weeks. I personally file every 6 weeks. I've never had a complaint. But then I've got a good HRM. Just make sure you get it in on the appropriate day. That way they have time to look at it and get it in. Yes, if you wait a year, you're going to cause a headache for them. And your payment may be delayed. In fact, if you wait too long, you might not get it in fast enough for them to actually go through it and submit it to the Department of Treasury before the time limit expires. We had that happen with one gentleman. We finally did get him paid for most of it, but he lost, I think, 3 months of payments because he sent it in 3 days before the year was up, and the HRM, it took over a week for the HRM to go through a year's worth of paperwork. So, you know, you've got to use some common sense with that if you're going to wait that long. You know, don't wait a year, wait 11 months maximum if you're going to wait that long. But otherwise, like I said, you know, try to help the HRM out. Every 2 weeks is fine. They cannot demand it, however.
So the message would be, if you have that information available to send in every 2 weeks, send it in. But if you don't, no need to stress yourself because you have a year to send it in?
That's correct. And then that brings us to our next topic, which falls in line with the medical, because it concerns your sick leave and annual leave. The same person who was telling me about the issues they're having with their HRM demanding every 2 weeks for the mileage, she also has been having her leave taken away, both sick leave and annual leave. She's been off on a work-related injury. They cannot take your leave away for that. If you use LWOP or FMLA for a certain number of hours, yes, they can. But they're taking it away because she's using her OWCP 049 code, which is an at-work injury. All right. What I found out, because she's not the only one who has this problem.
Well, hey, let me interrupt for a sec. Rob, let me interrupt you 1 minute. Say that again about that 049 code, please.
All right. If you're off work or if you go to the doctor, anytime you're off for the work-related injury reasons, the supervisors are supposed to input OWCP 049 on your tax statement. When I say tax, I'm talking about TACS, the timekeeping system. All right?
Okay.
That notifies everybody who's involved that you are off due to your work-related injury. It was not LWOP. Now, it's considered, let me rephrase that. It's considered LWOP with the reason for OWCP, which means you get paid for it. Regular LWOP and FMLA, you don't get paid for.
This is that, extra, is certain, that still called, is that still 049?
Only for OWCP. The others, I don't know what the codes are.
Okay, that's what I was bringing out. No, if you call in for work for leave and you don't have leave, then they're not going to give you a 049. I don't know what the code is for leave without pay if they approve it, but it's not going to be 049. And what happens to 049, exactly like you said, that's a injury compensation OWCP code that says you're out of work as a direct result of a job-related injury.
Correct. Now, there's a way to check this, okay? And I'm going to give you the designation for the form that you need to ask about. It's called LDC-6700, Lima David Charlie, okay, -6700. You call your HRSSC at the number 1-877-477-3273 and inform them that you've been off for a work-related injury, OWCP 049. Give them the dates you were off and ask them, was this form filed for me? If it was not, then there's an issue. Your HRM didn't do their job. Now, along with that, you also have to ask, what day was this filed? Because personal experience, in my case, I was off for 5.5 months. The day I came back, they filed the LDC 6700 and did not backdate it. So I'm still fighting to get my leave back. right? Because they put it in, but they waited until the end and didn't adjust the dates on it. So you make sure you check the date on it. Make sure it covered everything that needed to be covered. And then also you can just you can ask them to please adjust my sick leave balance because it was deducted from my balance erroneously. Whether it was sick leave or annual leave, you know, or both. Now, this is per the ELM, okay? 514.24, injured on duty. And going back to what Kenny said about supervisors and managers not knowing, I have an MDO who's arguing that the ELM 514.24 does not specify that you are not supposed to have your leave taken away. It clearly does. She just didn't look down far enough. The injured on duty is down near the bottom.
Well, I mean, again, if you look at that, anytime you get hurt at work, just by thinking about that in its most logical form, that's not your time that should be used if you're not at work. And I brought those tax codes up. When we say tax again, we're talking TACS. If you miss work for OWCP injuries, doctor's appointment, you're right, that's 049. If you're out of work for a plethora of other reasons that require you to be in a LWOP status, then they're going to use 059 or 060. And again, you need to understand that 059 and 060, that is the category of leave without pay that should affect your annual leave. Because once you hit 80 hours of that part day or full day leave without pay, they begin to deduct your annual leave. So make sure if you're injured at work that you're being coded 049 and not 59 or 060.
Very good point. Now, also going back to what I was saying, I know this information is accurate because I directly spoke with Dana C. Cotman. She is the manager of OCC Health Field Operations for the United States Postal Service. She told me point blank, they are not supposed to take any leave away from you of any kind for a work-related injury. And if you need any kind of documentation, I have this saved on my computer both at work and at home. I'll be happy to provide it.
I'm sure you will be, man.
I hate coming off like I'm a mean, badass jerk. But sometimes it's the only way to get people to listen.
And again, communication is so important, the art of communication. If you are giving your supervisors the proper forms needed for them to go ahead and begin the processing of your compensation, but yet they won't submit it or they're not doing their part, then we are not communicating. If you give those forms to your supervisor and you realize through verifying through the Department of Labor that they are not meeting their timeline on when these forms should be submitted, then you contact myself or contact Rob, and we will put you in touch with the personnel that are subject matter experts when it comes to making management do what management is supposed to do with regards to the quality of your work life. That I can say that we guarantee you. But, you know, when we start looking at these forms and this whole business of injury compensation, we start running across what a lot of times you'll see is a lowercase e hyphen CFR. And what that is electronic codes of federal regulations. And I got to tell you, They just amended part 10 of these codes. And when I tell you that it is a very detailed code book, that would be an understatement. If you did pull down the Title 20 and look into it, you'll see under Part 10, claims for compensation under the FICA Act as amended. And the information I have is as current as June 14th, 2019. So it's 4 days old. And subpart A gives you an introduction into what FICA is, the rules that govern, how do these regulations help, and what they contain, what's contained in each regulation. We got definition and forms, what definition applies to the regulation of this subchapter, what special statutory definitions apply to dependent and survivors. I got to tell you, since I've been doing this podcast with Rob, in order for us to put together a quality show, it requires us to do a lot of research. And I got to tell you, if you took the time and researched your rights under FICA laws, I guarantee you will be impressed with the coverage that you have. But while you're being impressed with the coverage that the law says that you're entitled to, you're going to be very, very frustrated with the managerial agency at the post office who have no clue of what you're entitled to and sure don't put a lot of effort making sure they understand how to protect you should you become an injured employee at work. So all I can say to anyone is we put these podcasts together in an attempt to try to keep you informed. But a lot of this reading, I'm not even going to ask you to do because it's a lot of reading. But I will say, if you are ever injured at work, then it is no longer a request for you. If I could give you a directive to read it and update yourself on what it is that the government says they're going to do for you under FedComp, you will relax in knowing that the government has put provisions in place to make sure you're taken care of properly. But we always run into that brick wall called postal management, who either don't know or don't care. And most people who are injured at work have a horror story to tell you, as opposed to, I got injured at work, my supervisor made sure I had the right forms. I went to the doctor. I got rehabilitation. I did a rehab treatment. And hey, and I'm back to where I was before the injury. You won't hear that story often, and you won't hear that story because, again, the agency just don't take the time to make sure supervisors are well-versed in all aspects of their job. I wanted to get into another little topic, but I won't today. I'll just touch it. Did you know that if you're injured at work, there is a question that should be asked, and that question should be, should I file a workers' comp or a personal injury claim? Now, I'm not going to attempt to go too deep into this because we've got about 45 seconds left. But again, has anyone ever mentioned to you about filing personal injury claims? You see, knowledge is power, and they don't have the knowledge of where you work if you work in a post office. So you have to get this knowledge on your own. So if you're injured at work, depending on the reason for your injury, if it's a defect in the equipment, something that an agency was contracted by the post office to do properly and they didn't, well, you may have a personal injury claim and not just an injury compensation claim. Hey, just giving you something to think about. And again, all this information comes right from the Department of Labor website. Again, I don't make any of this up. I just search it out so that I can bring it to you. Hey, so that's going to end our podcast for this evening. Hey, thank you for hanging out with Kenny and Rob on this injury podcast half hour. Again, we attempted to explain to you what FECA was, what FECA is, and how it benefits you as a federal employee. We talked about some of the benefits provided under workers' compensation law. We brushed over Part 10 in its amended state claims for compensation. Brother Frost talked to us about mileage claim forms and making sure that if you are missing work as a direct result of a job-related injury, that you're coded 049 and not 059 or 060, because the latter two will definitely affect your annual leave. That's it for tonight. Hey, Rob, I'll see you tomorrow, and we'll definitely put together another show for next week.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night, everyone.